You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and welcome to the Punt Podcast here at William Hill. Alex Dunn standing in for Dave Kellner in the presenter's chair on the midweek version of the Punts. But don't worry, Andy Excel and Derek McGovern are still here and alongside me. Andy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Mr. McGovern, good afternoon.
Good day, chaps.
How's things? I've just been hearing that you were oh so close with the naps at the weekend.
Yeah.
Go on, Derek. Go on, Andy. You say the bad news.
The best treble that never won.
Yeah. Not one of them coughed. Three good things. It looked couldn't be beaten in my eyes. That treble 66-1, something like that. And not one got anywhere near.
Including the 0-0 that finished 3-1. That's how close we were.
4-1.
Was it 4-1 in the end?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a full program across both Tuesday and Wednesday. There's two televised games. And we'll start by talking about those. We're going to focus on three other games, if you like. And if you've got any bets, chaps, that you fancy in any of the other games, then we'll throw them in as well. But the first game that we are going to focus on is the first of the televised games. It's Watford against Manchester United on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock. Now, Watford are have been pretty impressive so far this season. They'll be flying on the crest of a wave coming in into this game off the back of a comprehensive 3-0 win at Newcastle on Saturday. The likes of Richarlison and Will Hughes really impressing, and as is Marco Silva, of course. That said, Jose's boys are doing what Mourinho sides do, Andy. And I've got a stat for you as well. They have not lost a league game that Paul Pogba has started since the 23rd of October 2016. Now, I know he has missed a few games in that time, and Man U won't have lost that many in that time, full stop. But nevertheless, they are a very different side when he's in it.
Yeah, it does make a big difference. The first game he came back a couple of weeks ago, he made a huge difference. The two games since, they haven't quite been on the same par, and they struggled home against Brighton at the weekend with a very fortunate goal. And Watford, finally, after a few weeks of promising but not delivering, have delivered. I've got this down as a trap game, midweek as well. It's the one sort of one United could go away and easily get turned over. I wouldn't put people off Watford here. 9-2 is all right, I think.
Okay, Watford 9-2, the draw 14-5. Man United are 4-6. Are Man U a bit skinny here, Derek?
Well, they are, definitely. This fixture finished 3-1 for Watford last season, and Watford last season were diabolical. This season, the most improved side I've seen in a number of years, not just over one season to the next, in a number of years. I mean, you know, you look at United, they've been playing badly and winning, which is the hallmark of a good side, you've got to say. Another hallmark is not being called United, because this is as far from a United side as I can remember. Pogba is a world-class player, and he would make a big difference to any team. But take him out of that Man United team, and I don't see absolutely anything to be scared of. And let me tell you something about, here's a stat. I've been looking at the stats for this fixture, and I still can't believe this is true. Despite taking charge of both Hull and Watford, you know, two crap teams, really, you would say, since becoming a Premier League manager, this is, we're talking about Marco Silva. He's won only four games fewer than Jose Mourinho in that period. In January 2017, he took over Hull. He's only won four games fewer than Jose Mourinho. That's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a sign of him being unbelievably brilliant, or Mourinho being gone at the game, a busted flush? A bit of both in my eyes. It all boils down to the fact that Watford, who have impressed me every time I've watched them this season and should have beaten Chelsea a few weeks ago, are vastly overpriced here. Massive price, Watford. Get on.
So you just back them outright, 9-2?
Two right, yeah. I think they'll win. I'll be... No, well, I'll obviously be disappointed if they don't, but I'll be surprised.
Okay.
We've talked about Silva before. He is the manager for the next big job, I think. And that might be why he's not too keen on the Everton position.
Yeah.
He's waiting for the next bus to come along.
Plenty of enhanced odds, as always, with these games. You can back Richarlison to score, Watford to win, pushed out from 7s to 9 to 1. Pogba to score, Man U to win, pushed out from 23 to 10 to 3 to 1. There's obviously hashtag your odds available on the game as well. So Watford at 9 to 2 for Derek. Are you the same, Andy, or are you going to be a bit more conservative?
If I was having a bet in the game, I'd be having Watford as well. I think they're a good side, and I think United could possibly get caught out by this one.
Okay. There you go then. Perhaps a bit of a shock, or at least the betting would suggest so, in the first of our televised games this midweek. On Wednesday, we've got Everton against West Ham to look forward to. Everton 13-10, the draw 23-10, and West Ham are also 23-10. Derek, Everton have got a phenomenal record against West Ham, just one defeat in 18, but everyone wants to play one of these two teams right now, and yet they're playing each other.
Yeah, exactly. What a sickness for the rest of the Premier League. It shows you how bad this league is. Everton have been pathetic recently. We know that. We've seen them often enough. But in the six-match form table, there are four teams lower than them. Four teams lower than Everton. I can't believe that's possible. One of them, of course, is West Ham. But when you saw from West Ham on Friday night, it was a vastly improved performance, unbelievably, given who they've got in charge now, David Moyes. And what we saw from Everton at Southampton on Sunday was as bad as it gets for Everton. Mm. I have to say that West Ham are 23-10 here. There's such great value at those odds that I think you'll be thanking me for highlighting it, even if they lose. Because that's how good a bet West Ham are here. I think they're a very ordinary side, West Ham. Probably not even that good. But right now, taking on Everton, and you get it's a gift. You know, it's a gift, 3 points. The only reservation here is that David Moyes is taking West Ham back to Goodison Park, where he was there for so long. Well, that, assuming he's still in charge by then, by the way. And you know, you'll know what the problems facing Everton, and you'll know that he needs to get something because they're playing Man City away at the weekend. He might decide to shut up shop and get a point. And if they do that, I can't see Everton scoring past them. So that's my only reservation. But as it stands right now, if Moyes and West Ham show a bit of ambition, they will win this game.
Okay. A bit of a counter-argument, if you like, then, is that David Moyes has lost all four of his Premier League matches against Everton as a manager by an aggregate score of 8-0. And this will be the 39th consecutive Premier League match day in which David Moyes has started in charge of a team in the relegation zone. That's hardly a ringing endorsement of his managerial skills, is it?
No, we've talked about him before. You referred to Mourinho as possibly a busted flush. I mean, this is, you've thrown the whole set of cards out here. but yeah, this is an ex-girlfriend game for me. If you see him coming, you walk away. It's Everton, West Ham. I don't want to go anywhere near either of them. You know, I just can't get involved in the game at all. I've worried about West Ham. Yeah, they did show an improved effort, but we're all getting song and dancey about a home draw against another mid-table team. Mm. So, you know, I don't want to back either team. That's the truth of the matter.
Okay.
One thing you have to say, by the way, you know, people are saying that Everton's problems began when they sold Lukaku and he didn't replace him, you know, with another striker. Well, I'll tell you what, he must have been one hell of a defender too, because since he left Everton, they've got the worst defence in the league.
Yeah, that's been alarming, though, hasn't it? I mean, you could have foreseen the problems that they were going to have selling Lukaku. They strengthened at the back, or so it seemed.
Yeah, well, Michael Keane has just been, and you know, Pickford has been okay, I suppose, but he's letting more goals than any other keeper. Mm. And Michael Keane has just been a disastrous sign. I can't understand. This is the guy who's looked upon as, you know, the next England centre-half last season, but when he was at Burnley, he's been useless.
I'll tell you what, that transfer at the moment makes Sean Dyche look even more of a genius, because he's had Tarkowski sat in the wings, yeah, and he's just plugged him straight in. So.
Exactly.
Enhanced odds for this game, Sigurdsson to score, Everton to win, pushed out from 14-5 to 7-2, or Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win from 5s to 7s. Derek, you're with West Ham, 23-10?
Yeah, definitely.
And Andy?
I'm running away from this as fast as I can.
Fair enough. Right, we're going to focus on three non-televised games, and we're going to start back on Tuesday. The first of them is Leicester against Spurs. This one's 7:45. Leicester are 19-5. The draw is 14-5, and Spurs are 3-4. Two frontrunners for the title once upon a time. Now Leicester are mid-table, although results have largely been positive so far under Claude Puel, and Pochettino openly admitting that his team are out of the title race following a 1-1 draw against West Brom. It's a tricky one, this, Andy. One positive, perhaps, is that Jamie Vardy might be able to dash home to watch his wife on Amos Leb on ITV plus one, if he's lucky. I mean, the last time these two met was 6-1 to Spurs. Harry Kane scored four on that occasion. Could you see Spurs running away with this? They haven't really done that much. They haven't battered teams that much so far this season.
No, they haven't really battered people, but they're just a good side, a good solid side. Their form hasn't been as good recently outside of the European games where they've played very well. Premier League form hasn't actually been that great. I keep waiting for Leicester to turn a corner. They look on the verge of it, but it's not quite happened yet. Tricky one again. There's a few tricky fixtures in this midweek one. Again, I always worry about teams going away midweek and, you know, is it... Generally, I'd be with Leicester here, I think, at the prices.
Okay. Leicester, who are 19-5 in this. And don't forget, there's hashtag your odds available on this game as well if you want to get involved. Derek, where are your allegiances lying this time?
Well, I'm beginning to worry about Spurs. I mean, they get unbelievable press. But they played 13 Premier League games this season and they failed to win six of them. It's not a great record, is it, for a team that's supposedly, you know, banging the home for the title? Well, until their manager said they weren't any longer. last season's game, the 6-1 win, was a bit of a fluke. You know, we all know what happened to Leicester, and I've no idea what happened in the second set in that game, but I think we can ignore that game. But it's interesting to know, look, in the last results for these two teams, what's the worst result? Drawing with West Ham, which is what Leicester did, or drawing with West Brom, which is what Spurs did? It's hard to say. Leicester have only been beaten by teams in the top six this season. And I know Spurs are in the top six, but it gives you an idea that Leicester aren't quite as bad as people are saying. And I thought they deserved 3 points against West Ham the other night. I've got a fancy of an amazing on Tuesday night against Spurs. I think it's a good time to play Spurs. Mauricio Pochettino, a few distress signals coming out from him. And I noticed that they're 8-11 to finish in the top four. And that seems awfully short when you consider that they won't.
Well, yeah. It's an interesting one with Tottenham. They've now come into the position that their North London neighbours and my lot, Arsenal, have been in for years. Everybody's saying they now need to win something. And yeah, the pressure's now turned. So it's interesting to see whether they can deliver now.
OK. We'll move to Brighton against Palace. This one also on Tuesday night, 7:45 kick-off. Brighton 13-8, the draw 21-10, and Palace are 19-10. These two don't particularly like each other. They're not that fond of each other, Derek. Palace have started picking up points, but that's mainly thanks to a pretty sturdy home record since Roy Hodgson took over. They've had some difficult away fixtures so far this season, but they still haven't scored a goal. But Christian Benteke he played 45 minutes, didn't he, against Stoke. He may not be quite ready to start a game, but he's at least a striker, which is more than they've had for most of this season. That said, Brighton were given a big thumbs up from our friend Mr. Mourinho at the end of the Man U game, and they're chugging along quite nicely, aren't they?
Yeah, we said in one of the earlier podcasts that the team that aren't going to get rolled, get bumped up by anybody, to give anybody a game. They might not be the easiest team on the eye, but they're very professional, very well organised, and no one's going to have a back ball against them, certainly not Palace. I mean, you look at the league table, and you have to say it's a must-win game for Palace, and normally I always like to back teams who need to win, because I need to win too. But I can't back them here at these kind of prices. I've always wondered, I finally find out this week, I've always wondered why the enmity between these two teams, why it's classed as a derby. And
isn't it something to do with something that comes out of one end and shouldn't be on a dressing room floor?
Well, it might be, but my reading of the situation, something I learnt this weekend, you might well be right, it was something to do with when the respective managers were Alan Mullery and Terry Venables, and they had lots of bust-ups in the 70s and early 80s, I think it was, or maybe the 70s, and Mullery threw something on the floor, a few pennies on the floor, and said, "That's all you're worth, pal," and that's where it sparked. I might be wrong, that's what I read at the weekend.
Okay.
Anyway.
I was going down a very different route there. I'm sure in the playoffs, Brighton played Palace and Gus Poyet lost his job for apparently another reason about a week later. I'm sure that there was some.
But they were big derby rivals before then, weren't they? I think it dates back to further than that. But I'll do a bit more digging on the situation next time we do the podcast. And yeah. I'll try to shed some light.
I think Derek's right. This is one that, unless you're local knowledge, this is one of the most unfathomable rivalries out there. But it does date back to Mallory and Venables and really hating each other and a lot of bad words being said. They also, the other straw you can clutch out as to why this is such a rivalry is they share the same commuter route into London. Mm. That's about it. But yeah, they really don't like each other. I actually went to this game in the 70s and it was
okay.
A big atmosphere, and it will be again in this game.
I'm not going crazy, by the way. I have found an article about Gus Poyet fuming after excrement found in Palace dressing room.
Gus
Poyet. Yes, that's the one. Going back to that was 2013. Obviously, the feud has been a little bit longer than that. But I suppose matters like that, they probably don't help a rivalry. I would suggest.
So I noticed one. Sorry, Alex. I just noticed one great stat here. 2014-15 season. Crystal Palace have won just one of their 14 Premier League midweek matches, losing 9 and drawing 4, which is an incredibly bad record, and I think it's worse of a Saturday or something as well. I've got a feeling this will be a draw, you know. I know that Palace, I've just started this by saying Palace need to win, but I can't be backing them at these kind of odds because nobody's going to get an easy game at Brighton. I'm going to go for the draw at the biggest price, 21-10.
Okay. Andy?
I just edge Brighton, but there'll be goals, is what I'd say. So okay. Brighton and both teams to score, maybe.
Fair enough. The final game that we're going to focus on is on Wednesday, non-televised, Stoke against Liverpool. 8 o'clock, the kick-off time for this one. Stoke are 5-1, the draw 16-5, and Liverpool are 4-7. Now, I've made, you know, hefty notes on all of the games that we've spoken about so far. I've just put in capital letters, I can't make head nor tail of this game. I wouldn't really know where to start. The two sides that on their day could easily win a game like this, and when it's not their day, they couldn't. That'd probably lead me towards backing Stoke because they're a considerably bigger price. But it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Well, when you say that, that basically commands an interest in Stoke at 5-1. If what you say is true, and I understand why you're saying that. I mean, why on earth would you back Liverpool at 4-7 in this fixture, given the problems they've got, given the defence they've got, given the goalie they've got? I think they're one of the worst bets of all time. Liverpool are 4-7 here. The way they attack, we know that Liverpool have become the second favourite team for most neutrals. The way they defend, they've become the second favourite team for most Liverpool fans. I mean, it's just awful watching them. And okay, they could argue that they were unlucky not to get 3 points against Chelsea, but I don't buy into that. I thought Chelsea deserved at least a draw at the weekend. I was disappointed with Liverpool, very disappointed. Disappointed with the manager. I'm saying that every week now. And I know I mentioned this on the podcast about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was in a minority of one. But there's more and more Liverpoolians coming onto my side, my way of thinking that Klopp could well be a con man. I don't mean a deliberate con man. But his reputation is far higher than it should be. Now, it's almost heresy in Liverpool to say that, but I've got my big doubts about him.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because, obviously, Andy, they're coming up against the Stoke side who their own fans are beginning to question the manager, Mark Hughes. And it could be that whoever doesn't get the result in this game could well be under a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, when Derek was talking about Klopp the other week, the week after I looked at the sort of the handicap form table from the beginning of the season, and Liverpool would have been below Arsenal when Wenger was getting all the stick. Mm. So you can see why it's coming up. I think the same finger should be getting pointed at Mark Hughes. You know, they've spent an awful lot of money there over the last few years, and it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And they used to be formidable at home, and now you don't worry so much about going there.
Yeah.
But having said that, at the prices again, for the same reason I said earlier, I don't like teams going away from home midweek. I need to see a good price to want to back one. I could only be with Stoke again here, I think. But it'll be a case of a 2-1, 1-0. It'll be just nicking it, that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's interesting, and as well, Mark Hughes has managed to go to Stoke, well, not go to Stoke, but this season has gone to the 3 at the back, 5 at the back, whatever you want to call it, without signing a single wing back, and there weren't any there to start with. It's sort of like, why? There doesn't appear to be any sort of rhyme or reason to a lot of the decisions that are being made there.
No, and I just don't see the club going forward. And, you know, like I say, there's a lot of money being spent there, and they should really be sort of, in the, can we push into the top six, definitely bottom, top half, and they're loitering above relegation.
And not only that, they've conceded, everybody's given Everton a defence stick for conceding 28 goals, and rightly so, but Stoke have conceded 26, and that's not something you would have labelled against Stoke, is it? You know, a leaky defence. You'd imagine under Mark Hughes, he'd keep things tight. It actually shocked me when I saw how many goals they conceded this season.
Yeah. So you're both with Stoke just on the outrights?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Liverpool are 4-7. The way they are right now, I think you have to oppose them on that. You can play safe and go Stoke with a goal start and still comfortable odds against. But 5-1, that's, you know, when you're getting 5-1 in a Premier League match, you don't expect them to win, do you? So it's a big surprise if they were to win at 5-1. But it wouldn't be a big surprise if Stoke won this, to me, in my eyes.
Okay, fair enough.
This midweek fixture could cap off a great month for us over the punter. We've been having a great November, and this could finish it. If you're looking at the big teams, I don't really fancy any of them, to be honest, that we've talked about. So, you know, it's just been... the punters have got to be getting going before Christmas, otherwise...
Yeah,
and when we mentioned other things, you know, with those fixtures we mentioned there, there's some big price ones with a hell of a chance. And I know that you must have looked at this fixture and licked your lips. Bournemouth v Burnley. Burnley 16-5. Jeez, that's a big price, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we've got one other game on Tuesday that we haven't mentioned. That's West Brom Newcastle. And then on Wednesday, we've got Chelsea Swansea, Bournemouth Burnley, Arsenal Huddersfield and Man City Southampton that we haven't mentioned. Now, price-wise, you would suggest that Chelsea, Arsenal and Man City are, in inverted commas, bankers. But as you said, that there are other games that you can find a bit of value in. Was there anything for either of you that stuck out like a sore thumb in the games that we haven't mentioned?
Well, the Burnley one, definitely 16-5. That's just too big. And I could almost give a chance for Newcastle, you know, 12-5. I know they're on a losing run, but they don't have to be anything, you know, you don't have to be anything special to beat West Brom. So 12-5 Newcastle, but it's nothing compares to Burnley at 16-5 to win at Bournemouth.
No, as a Newcastle fan, I don't think we're going to get hammered by West Brom. That's the thing, that they don't batter teams, do they? They win by the odd goal. So I think if you're getting, you know, like Newcastle plus a goal 8-15, I mean, it's short, isn't it? But it's, I'm with you on that, Derek. It wouldn't be the biggest shock, would it?
That might be one that Newcastle, after getting a drubbing at home, the players might be going out with something to prove, as it were.
Yeah.
So I can see an argument for it, yeah.
Okay.
I would be looking at Chelsea to win to nil at home to Swansea. Swansea are awful. I've said it since the beginning of the season. I fancied them to go down. To add to that, they can't play Tammy Abraham in this game.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, Chelsea will win to nil here. I think that's all right. I think that was small odds on, and I think that's a way of getting a good bet in that game.
Chelsea to win to nil, 4-6.
Yeah, I think that's decent.
So if we're looking for naps this week then, Andy?
That's mine. Chelsea to nil, 4-6. I know I don't really want to put an odds on one up, but I think that's good.
Okay. Derek?
Yeah, but Burnley 16-5 to win at Bournemouth for me.
Okay. And if I'm allowed one, I think I'd probably go with... It's going to have to be some kind of pro-Watford bet. I think I'd probably go Watford plus a goal and try and maggot away a bit of money. A 23-20, that is.
Maggot away, I've not heard that one.
The treble is over 14-1 for Chelsea, nice. Burnley and Watford plus a goal, hopefully. We can fare a little bit better than the treble put up at the weekend. Fingers crossed anyway. We'll be back on Thursday, I think it is. Thursday or Friday. It'll be Dave Kellner back in the presenter's chair and all of the usual gang will be here. I may be popping up with a European bet. Who knows? But if you have been listening to this midweek punt, then thank you very much for tuning in. Mr. XL, thank you.
Pleasure.
Mr. McGovern, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, lads. Speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.